Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. It's Thursday, the 3rd of November 2011. I'm Dean Beck. We will be speaking to the mother of Julian Assange, Christine Assange, very shortly. The WikiLeaks founder yesterday lost his High Court appeal against extradition to Sweden and will now face rape allegations in Sweden. There is an appeal against that, but it's not looking good for the WikiLeaks founder, Julian Assange. We'll also be speaking to Sam Venning. He is the newly appointed president of PLWHA Victoria, and Sam will join us to discuss the issue around do-it-yourself home HIV test kits. There is an application before the Therapeutic Goods Association to approve a home test kit for HIV, and Sam will give us his opinion on whether this is a good thing. We will also take a look at a Joy 94.9 study into seniors. My co-host, Andrew the Apprentice, will be with us under his other name, Andrew Thorpe, who will be heading the study to assess the GLBTI aged care population in the city of Yarra. This is quite an extraordinary development for Joy, and it will be an interesting outcome as to what the needs are of the aged in the city of Yarra. We'll also be joined by none other than Vasco Meyer. Of course, we want to know your thoughts. Every time Julian Assange's name is mentioned, many people have an opinion, and we'd love to get your thoughts on the current situation with the WikiLeaks founder. Let us know what you think. This is how you do so.
Call Joy.
1300 Joy 949.
SMS
0427 Joy 949. Email
on air at joy.org.au.
You want a mic?
Yesterday, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange lost his appeal for extradition to Sweden. Joining us to discuss it further is his mother, Christine Assange. Thank you very much for joining us on the line.
Thanks for the opportunity, Dean.
Christine, how are you faring with all of this? It must be a tough time for you.
I feel like I'm living in some sort of gulag nightmare. My democracy, my country will not back my son, who is one of the foremost fighters for freedom and human rights in the world. And it's bad enough that the Swedish case has gotten to the state where it has. It's bad enough that the US want to extradite him and put him in prison or kill him. But for our government not to act upon the advice of all the prominent academics, lawyers, human rights people, including on the 2nd of March this year, a full diplomatic and legal briefing at Canberra, where they recommended that the government should immediately request written humanitarian guarantees that from UK and Sweden and also Australia that Julian not be extradited. That, on top of all the other stuff, leaves me absolutely horrified that we're going backwards. We're not going forwards in terms of democracy and the safety of my son.
The thing that I can compare it to in the most recent of times, I guess, is the 14-year-old in Bali with the drug situation he has found himself in and the efforts that the government has since gone to. Do you look at that comparison and wonder why Julian isn't being looked after as well?
I know why he isn't being looked after. Of course, that was a wonderful distraction for the government to show that, oh, look, we actually do care about people. It wasn't a political case. It was an easy thing to do. Julie Gillard talks, a lot of people talk about how tough she is, but I've yet to see it. I've seen her be tough on single mums. I've seen her be tough on pensioners and disability recipients. I've yet to see her have what I call real courage. And that is, as the leader of this nation, to do what the people of this nation want. Julian has, and WikiLeaks have, overwhelming support from the Australian people and prominent people here. And to lead this country to a coming of age and say to the US, look, we're happy, you know, for you to be in some sort of alliance with ANZUS with us, but we're going to renegotiate that treaty and we're going to increase our status and we're your equal now. And we believe that you've overreacted and become over-emotional about this issue. It hasn't been considered. And I'm sorry, but we're not going to go down that track with you, regardless of what economic sanctions you threaten us with. They threaten many countries around the world, and that's what the WikiLeaks cables have revealed, that the US is a global bully and threatens weaker people with withdrawal of aid, etc., if they stand up for their democratic rights.
Do you honestly believe that the US would threaten sanctions against Australia if they took action with regards to Julian?
Well, they threaten everybody else. Why not Australia? I mean, if you saw that subservient display by Julia Gillard at the White House, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was something from Fast Forward when I saw it. You know, you have a friend down under, Mr. President, and Americans can do anything in a breathy voice. It was like watching Marilyn Monroe with JFK. it bordered on political pornography, to be quite frank with you, okay? I thought, oh, my God, this is how far it's gone down the road of just being in the 51st state of the US. She bangs on about the ANZUS Treaty and how, you know, we must follow the US because they'll protect us against Islam and all the rest of it. But in actual fact, two other countries, one of them smaller than us, has stood up against the US, and they're actually still around. New Zealand stood up over the US docking their nuclear-powered warships. They're still around. And Canada stood up in the Vietnam War and said, well, actually, we think this war is an immoral war, and we're not going to follow you down. And on top of that, we're going to offer your draft dodgers safe haven in Canada. They're still around. Many people in Australia have been pushing for a republic to break away and become independent from the Commonwealth. There seems little point of transferring subservience from the Commonwealth into sycophancy with the US. And the US is actually it's not a very good argument anyway. The US's economic power is waning. They've had their time. They're on the way out. To ally yourself with the US, who's offended many countries around the world, is really inviting a growth of homegrown terrorism on our own soil. We've got Muslim people to the north of us, and there's a lot of offence being taken at the way that the US is handling things. They're very heavy-handed. They're not very good at diplomacy. In terms of threatening the US Australian government, well, I can talk about the Haiti cable. Are you aware of the Haiti cable that WikiLeaks released?
Please explain further.
This is a very interesting one, and I'm only picking this one out. There's many that are along these lines. Haiti had the earthquake, and what was the US response to that? The US response was, at the time the president was trying to get the minimum wage raised, but about doubled. It was about, I don't know, 30 cents, and he wanted to raise it to 60 cents per hour. Even at 60% per hour, 6 cents per hour, the poor Haitian people are only struggling with that, will be struggling. Now, there's some big clothing manufacturers have cheap labour in Haiti, Levi Strauss being one of them. And the American response to that was, if you want aid after the earthquake, you'd better forget about that minimum wage rise or you won't be getting it, okay? they also did a couple of other things. One of the cables, in the same cable, it was released a conversation between the embassies, Haiti embassy, the US ambassador and America. And in it, it said, quote unquote, the gold rush is on. And that means the millions of money and rorting that goes on in reconstruction after a disaster where the US is involved or a war where the US is involved. And the same people who doubled the quotes in Katrina, the same contracts were given to them in Haiti to come in and have a field day and make lots of money. Then Venezuela tried to help Haiti by lowering their oil price to 60%. And in that, Chavez said, look, we'd like to use the extra 40% to rebuild your schools and hospitals. And the four major US oil companies threatened that procedure and stopped it. In Australia, recently WikiLeaks released a cable, 2007 cable, regarding the Torres Strait. It's a pristine environment located just north of the Barrier Reef. When John Howard was in, he brought in legislation which meant that any oil tankers or gas tankers or chemical tankers going through the strait had to ring to the mainland and request a pilot boat to guide them through the strait so there wouldn't be a major incident and ruin the reef. Americans didn't like that, so they lobbied and lobbied and lobbied, but Howard stood his ground. When the Labor government got in, they continued to lobby, and the cable showed the conversation between diplomats in Australia and America, and it went something like this. Look, we'd like to help you, but we can't change the legislation because if we have an incident, the Australian people will never forgive us. No concern about the reef, just the way it would affect them in the polls. But they happily came to some sort of agreement, and that was that if you take your oil tankers through, and there's 137 a year going through, we won't impose the penalties in the legislation. So, you know, it was a secret handshake. The Australian people knew nothing about this. And it goes on and on. I could go on. I'm not going to continue with it. But one thing I'd like to say to your listeners, if you want to know what's really going on in the world, it's very easy. You just Google WikiLeaks, Twitter, and follow the stories. And if you really want to know what's going on with the Swedish case, then get onto your computer and type in SwedenVersusAssange.com. For the real facts, not the smear. It's very hard for people to know exactly what's going on with the smatterings of information, disinformation and smear. And a lot of people want to help and they don't know how. And as individuals, we sometimes feel very powerless, even in this democracy. But I would like to ask the Australian people to help me, to help Julian, to help maintain a vigorous democracy for ourselves and the world, and to write to their local federal MP. They can get the address from their local council. A letter is worth 10,000 phone calls and emails. And to say that democracy is, and freedom of speech and freedom of the press is actually the most important thing for them, because no other freedom can come without that. And that in next election, they will vote on that, and to tell their member to stand up and start doing the right thing for Julian and start pushing for written humanitarian guarantees, or else they won't vote for them next election. That is something each individual Australian can do.
The facts as they stand right now are that your son has had some of the best lawyers in the Western world represent him to try and stop him being extradited to Sweden for prosecution regarding some cases of suspected rape. Now, that
rape,
seems...
rape, by the way, is not the way we conceive rape. And the girls, sorry, the women involved, they're not girls, had never alleged rape. That in Sweden, rape is not the same as we have here. It's a highly feminist country that perceives minor sexual breaches of etiquette as rape. And the woman involved never ever said she was raped. And her testimony was changed by the police. She complained about that. But what she said was not actually what was written down.
Would we refer to it as sexual molestation or coercion?
Well,
would that be our equivalent?
Actually, what it was that she was after a night of sexual activity. There was a move to continue it while she was half asleep, and she said yes. That was it.
Would it be your, is it your understanding that really this is some sort of conspiracy between the US and Sweden?
I can't say it is categorically because obviously I'm not talking to people behind it. But if you look at the coincidences, for example, Julian, these women went to the police, but that whole thing was dropped. Then it was reinstated. He was given permission to leave the country. He left the country, published the cable gate, and then straight away there was a red notice put on him. Okay?
A red notice being?
Being an international European arrest warrant.
Right, yep.
So those notices are usually only put on people for interstate trafficking, human trafficking, drug dealing and terrorism. There have been many, many, many coincidences. For example, the European arrest warrant protocols are that you cannot apply for it for questioning alone. It has to be for prosecution or that the suspect has already been prosecuted and fled the scene. The normal protocol would have been for Sweden to ask for what is called mutual legal assistance. Julian has offered a number of times to go back to Sweden to be questioned, and the prosecutor said, oh, look, my particular person was away that day or was sick. Really pathetic excuses like that. So he continued to request to be interviewed, knowing that he could clear his name and wanting to get on with it. And mutual assistance is what should have happened. He tried to invoke mutual legal assistance, the normal protocol, asking, could he go to the Swedish embassy and be interviewed in London and be interviewed there? Could they do it by Skype or any other means of communication? The reason he didn't want to go back to Sweden was because Sweden is very, very close to the US, and he felt safer in Britain. Sweden has a huge arms deal with the US over Iraq, monster arms deal. In addition, they've got a very, very poor record with complying with US extraditions and what they call temporary surrender extraditions, which don't even have to go through court. They just loan them over there for prosecution. And they also have been complicit and involved in illegal renditions where they've taken people the US wanted and the US has drugged them and put them on a helicopter and flown them to Egypt and had them tortured. And they've come up time and time again in Fair Trials Europe for complaint. The European Court and the European Parliament has admonished Sweden time and again for the lack of fair trials and their complicity in illegal renditions. So Julian had good grounds not to go there for that reason.
There is an appeal now to try and stop the extradition to Sweden. When will that be heard? Are you aware of when that's coming
for? He's got 2 weeks... by the way, there was £19,000 awarded against him, and Claire Montgomery, who is the top barrister in extradition in UK, is being paid by the UK government on behalf of Sweden, while Julian has to try and get what he can
privately.
So what happens now is that if someone is willing to do that, Julian has 2 weeks in which to ask the High Court, the same people who've just turned him down, can he apply to the Supreme Court on a point of law to have that appeal reheard? And the point of law must be in the public interest. Now, it should morally and legally be approved because the European arrest warrant system has for years been decried by the legal establishment human rights as a problem in terms of justice. So being a precedent case, this would be a good way to do it. But given the political nature of the case, we don't know what they'll rule. If they will not give him leave to apply to the Supreme Court, he will be in Sweden, arrested and taken to Sweden in 10 days. On his arrival, he'll be put straight to prison. They have no bail conditions for foreigners in a Swedish prison. You are not allowed to see your lawyer. You are not allowed to have visitors. And you can be kept in a Swedish prison indefinitely for as long as they feel like it. If and when they decide to have a trial, it will be done in secret.
Not public?
No.
It's very.
And Julian has still not received, in his own language, in contravention of Article 6 of the European Convention on Human Rights, received all the information in regard to the allegations against him.
I would believe Sweden is a signatory to the Human Rights Convention.
I'm not aware of that, but I know that they've been admonished time and time again. They have had more complaints in the whole European Union. Sweden tops it for complaints against unfair trials.
So what is your thoughts? If that does happen, what do you think will then happen? Will he end up in the US?
Well, what's happening at the same time, apparently Sweden and the US are already in negotiation about how to extradite him. Currently, as we speak, for the last 6 months, there's been a secretly convened grand jury in Virginia in America to try and indict Julian. The jury pool, the reason that they put in Virginia is the jury pool has been gathered from the immediate area, which are all military intelligence families. And the US's idea of justice is that they have four prosecutors presenting evidence and no one from the defence is allowed to present evidence at that grand jury indictment.
And you suggest that the jury has already been selected?
Oh, it's already been sitting. It's been sitting for months. Now, what they do, what Sweden and the UK both do is synchronise extraditions and domestic hearings. So the fear is, and because they've done it before, is that they're, and the US has already stated they're waiting to see the outcome of the Swedish case before they'll synchronise, so he could be walked straight out of the Swedish court and be grabbed straight away. Now, I think he could go through a proper extradition hearing in Sweden, but the Swedes have a separate little treaty that gets around the normal rights of the normal extradition treaty. If he was going through a normal extradition, Britain would have to agree to it. The extraditing company, where you've come from, has to agree to, with the next, has to agree before they can extradite on. But Sweden and the US have developed a handy little way around that. They've got a bilateral treaty, which means they can do what they call a temporary surrender. In other words, they can loan Julian to the US, and that's just a tick box.
Yeah.
And then he would go to something like Guantanamo Bay, where he will be tortured, as Bradley Manning has been, to try and get him to admit something that he hasn't done. And they've got a high success rate. They've got a 98% success rate in getting confessions from people because of the torture.
It must be a concern for you.
Oh, well, you can imagine what it's like. You can just imagine, because on top of the fact that he's actually gone out and done something good for the world, on top of the fact that all the ordinary people in the world are supporting him, and many of the people that are high up in human rights and law and journalism, our own government won't do anything. And you know, you go to the government and you go, well, look, you know, you would do something, won't you? This is your citizen. There's a terrible, there's been breach after breach of legal rights and human rights already on the case. And all we get from the government is he's getting normal consular assistance. That's cup of tea and bickies. I'm told that all they do over there is just book seats for the hearing. You know, and we've got to be asking ourselves in this country, just why was Kevin Rudd stabbed in the back to put Julia Gillard in? Because that was done within weeks of Julian releasing stuff on the US, okay? And Mark Arbib was involved with that. And the cables showed that he'd been in bed with US intelligence for 4 years preceding that, the faceless men. Who do these faceless men represent? Who does Julia Gillard represent? Because she does not represent the Australian people. She does not represent the lawyers and the journalists and the academics here. So who exactly is she representing? If you saw, as I said, what she does with the US when she visits them, I think it's fairly clear. Whatever the US wants, the US gets. And she says the Americans can do anything. Well, they're right, and that's what everybody's worried about. They've been doing anything to anybody for years, and now they're doing it here in Australia.
Christine, one last time, those who wish to assist or help you or Julian's case, how can they do that?
Okay, a couple of things. I'll say it slowly. Get ready with your pens there, fellow Australians. I would go to the Sweden versus Assange.com website so that you're hearing from me, but get it straight from the horse's mouth. If you're already convinced, then if you don't know your local MP, just bring up the council and find out who your local MP is and either go down there and demand to see them personally or write a letter. If you want to go, if you Google in March the 2nd meeting in Canberra and Assange, on WikiLeaks Central joy.org, you will find all the briefs given to Canberra, and in there that recommended that what the best thing that can be done, the best thing Australians can ask their local member to do, is to come out and demand of their party or their government, in public, so everybody knows where they stand, that that Australia, UK and Sweden sign humanitarian guarantees, which means that they will not extradite Julian to the US because the case is political, and under the extradition treaties, you are not allowed to extradite someone for political reasons, okay? Now, if they're all too scared to do it on their own, maybe they could all hold hands and have a trilateral agreement to stand up to the US. But if the Australian people individually could say, this is the number one issue for me in the election, and all immigrants in this country who've come from repressive regimes will know how important this is, that this is a pivotal point, not just for Julian and his safety, not just for WikiLeaks, not just for our democracy, but for free speech in the world. If they take the internet and they control it, that's it. We'd have no more free speech. This is a turning point in history, and it's a time for us all to stand up and be counted.
Christine Assange, I admire your strength, and I thank you so much for being generous with your time at this difficult time for you.
Likewise, and thank you for the time to speak. Very much appreciated.
Christine Assange there, the mother of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Let me know your thoughts. Tess says, who is this lefty? Oh, it's his mother. That explains it. Thank you, Tess. And Sam says he enjoyed the interview. Thank you, Sam. He also asked the question, is Alan Joyce a respected member of the community? Sam, let's put it out to our listeners. You can tell us what you think. This is how you do so.
Call Joy, 1300-JOY-949.
SMS
0427-JOY-949. Email onair@joy.org.au.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming live around the world at joy.org.au. You are on the line, Dean Beck with you. Joy 94.9 received an acknowledgement of a grant by the City of Yarra last week. $10,000 will go into researching the needs of the older GLBTI population in the City of Yarra. They estimate approximately 400 GLBTI residents are there. Joining us to discuss this is one of the grants team from Joy 94.9, Andrew Thorpe. Thank you for joining us.
That's right, Dean. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Andrew, what is this going to do for both Joy 94.9 and the City of Yarra?
Well, we'll be partnering with City of Yarra and a few other organisations to do a need study for the gay and lesbian elders of the City of Yarra. We'll be looking to survey them and about their needs and wants for the future, and that'll help inform the City of Yarra about the best place to make sure they've got systemic change into the future for their aged care services.
When you say their needs and wants, you mean whether they need a social group, whether they need a cafe or a safe space, or whether they need an aged care residence? Is this
all
the
of
sort
that.
Of thing?
Yep, right. all okay. of that sort of stuff. And what sort of, like if people are coming into their home, for example, what sort of things should those people, the aged care workers coming into the home, be aware of? And how should workers be culturally sensitive in a way that respects their needs?
You yourself have worked in this sector for many years. What is it that Joy will get out of this sort of project?
Well, as being the largest gay and lesbian organisation in the country, and we've looked at the City of Yarra because the City of Yarra has the highest density of Joy membership of any municipality.
Right.
And so it's a way of assisting our community to, and it meets part of Joy's mission statement of providing people a voice and enabling freedom of expression and breaking of isolation. So it meets our mission statement in that way, and assists and makes sure that people know that Joy is out there and caring for our community.
Does it mean that Joy ultimately will tailor programs to fit this sector more so than it does already?
Potentially, I suppose. If there's feedback from the survey respondents that they need more information about aged care services, Joy would have a role to play in some element of that, definitely.
Now, the City of Yarra has given Joy $10,000 to undergo this project. There's expected to be around 400 GLBTI residents in the area. That's $25 per resident.
Yes, if you look at it that way, it is.
That's a pretty expensive survey, I would have thought.
It's a lot cheaper than it would be if the City of Yarra wished to engage an external consultant for this type of work, which they otherwise would need to do. So
fair point.
It's value for money for them, and it's a complete separate cost centre for Joy, so there's no cross-subsidisation from any other elements. So I think it's value for money.
And what other organisations will you, as head of this study, engage the services of? How else will we be able to interrelate to other organisations?
Yeah, we'll be looking to link up with existing organisations such as the Matrix Guild, Boiler Society, Vintage Men, those types of groups, and also venues in the City of Yarra that may have clientele or whatever that within our target age group.
Oh, that's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, we might be able to work with established venues as to how they might be able to tailor their services as well.
Yeah, and also provides us with a connection to a venue that has a clientele of that age group. So it makes the connection between the individuals in the city and Joy a lot easier to get their responses.
So they will assist you in the targeting of those surveys, I guess.
That's the idea, yes.
Terrific. Well, $10,000 is poke in the eye with a burnt stick. It's a very worthwhile contribution to the station and a worthwhile outcome, hopefully, for not only those living in the City of Yarra, but for all concerned.
Definitely. I mean, our older community have quite often higher needs than the general population because of various issues with regards to their mental health or their substance use or and a whole range of things. Lesbians, for example, are known to have higher rates of cervical cancer because the pap smearing system is there's issues there. So there's a whole range of health needs that are higher than the general population for gay and lesbian elders. So up until now, gay and lesbian elder service provision hasn't really been out there in any significant way. So I think it's good to good start to get some systemic change happening in the, particularly in the home and community care areas, and potentially even residential aged care and further and beyond.
Andrew Thorpe, thank you very much for joining us on the line today.
Thank you, Dean.
Andrew Thorpe there, who heads the grants team here at Joy 94.9, explaining just what we're going to do with $10,000 from the City of Yarra. Let me know your thoughts. We've had some wonderful messages come through from this one from Brendan, saying, "Dear me, as for Mrs. Assange to describe her son as one of the greatest freedom fighters in Australia, it's a bit of a stretch. Even governments have a right to privacy," says Brendan. "Being in a democracy does not mean that every skerrick of information should be available to the general public at all times. Even if there is a serious corruption, let's hear it." Now, he says, "Go and have a whinge to 3AW, Mrs. Assange." Oh, Brendan, that's a bit harsh. Let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you have to say. This is how you do so.
Call Joy, 1300 Joy 949. 1300 Joy 949.
SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email on air at joy.org.au.
You are on the line with Dean Beck. Now, there's been quite a bit of press around a do-it-yourself home HIV test kit. It has been submitted to the Therapeutic Goods for approval for use here in Australia. Well, joining us to give us his thoughts on what this will mean regarding the health outcomes for our community is Sam Venning. He's the newly appointed president of PLWHA Victoria. Sam, thanks for joining us on the line today.
Good afternoon, Dean.
Firstly, congratulations on your appointment as president of PLWHA. When did that transpire?
Thank you. Yes, that transpired a couple of weeks ago, just before a couple of weeks ago. We had our AGM and the newly elected board elected our executive committee and I've stepped up to this role.
Congratulations. You can expect to be in the firing line. Sam, tell me what your thoughts are regarding a home do-it-yourself HIV test kit.
Yes, well, at PLWHA Victoria, we've been following this with interest, and we've been developing a response with the Victorian AIDS Council. Look, we've been considering this. We've generally got good rates of testing in Australia. It mostly works well.
Those rates have been falling away quite dramatically in the last 2 or 3 years, though.
Possibly, but we think that that it's accessible and that it's affordable, the existing sort of method through general practitioners. And look, we encourage gay men to continue to test with their GP. And we're considering other ways of encouraging men to test for HIV in various other settings. But we still feel that the GP is the most appropriate place.
You say that, and yet you're in support, are you not, of rapid testing, which is due to be rolled out very shortly. That won't be performed necessarily in a GP clinic. There's talk about community outsourcing centres. So is that in contradiction to, you know, the GP situation that we have at present?
So the rapid testing that that we're considering is is very different to rapid testing to be done at a nightclub or in a home environment. First of all, they're much more accurate, and they also provide an environment where we can arrange for pre- and post-test counselling. It's most important, we feel, that, that people get the appropriate counselling just in case they do get a test that is positive, and then can be referred to appropriate services to provide health and just make sure that they're ready to deal with a possible positive outcome.
A quick Google search that I did earlier today indicates that HIV home test kits are currently available in Australia, and that there was a Sydney-based number advertising Australia Post delivery of these test kits.
There's some talk that these kits are available over the internet, but we're not aware of the kits being available in Australia yet. They certainly haven't been approved by the Therapeutic Goods Administration. So, look, that they are not legally available. Kits that are legally sort of approved and available generally.
My understanding is that Therapeutic Goods has a reciprocal relationship with the New Zealand version of the same organisation, and the kits are available in New Zealand legally. Wouldn't it just be a rubber stamp for them to be approved here?
Look, I couldn't comment on that. I'm not familiar with the details there, but. Look, they're not freely available at the moment, and we really would like to see them in an appropriate setting.
Yeah, it does raise a number of difficult situations, particularly if a positive result is found at home, and, you know, what then? It is quite a concern.
Yes, so, you know, we wondered, you know, what are the appropriate sort of pre, you know, post-test counselling and referral services. How would people then be encouraged to access a GP to get a more accurate test, a test that perhaps also reveals their viral load? They would want to get answers to questions like appropriate treatment, when to start treatment. And so more sophisticated tests in a GP setting will provide answers to these questions.
It's a tricky one, Sam. Thank you very much for joining us today. I do appreciate it. The rollout of rapid testing. Have you got any idea as to when that's going to be?
No, we don't. Look, it is tricky, and there's a lot of interest in it. We want to encourage people who are unsure about their status to test regularly. Look, we don't know when it will be rolled out, but as it develops, we'll be very very active in this process.
Really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much, Sam Venning, President of PLWHA Victoria. You're with Dean Beck on the line. Let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts regarding rapid testing and home testing of HIV? Thank you very much to this person who has said that they didn't even know Julian Assange was an Aussie. Thank you very much for that. And this person says, Mrs. Assange should be proud of her son as an anarchist that has exposed government lies, secrecy and hypocrisy. Wow, heavy stuff. Let me know your thoughts.
Call Joy.
1-300-JOY-949.
SMS
0427-JOY-949. Email
on air at joy.org.au.
You want a man?
Okay.
sound can only mean one thing. The extraordinary Vasco Meyer joins us.
Shut me in the fridge, Dean, because I'm burning up. 21-year-old, Glee newbie, and live theatre veteran, allegedly. Grant Gustin revealed in the latest issue of Billboard details of his new scheming Glee character, Sebastian, who apparently, Dean, isn't afraid of playing dirty. Scheduled to air 8th of November, Grant's character Sebastian is a straight acting homo, confident and comfortable with who he is and what he wants. Now, despite his high-profile TV debut, Grant insists his first love remains the stage. Now, Gleesters may check or review at their will Grant's full interview at www.billboard.com.
This message has just come through. Ooh. Saying the extradition of Julian Assange is a sham. Australia does not have a great record on human rights either. Democracy is an illusion, and WikiLeaks merely amplified what many of us know, already knew, about America's double standards. There is so much disinformation and lies on TV, it becomes embarrassing. We all pay tax, and we should all have a say as to how our governments function in war and in peace. Paul, thank you for that.
That's true, and I'm glad to see that Julian's looking very healthy in home detention. I noticed he's stacked on a few kilos.
You just want one of those bracelets.
They are rather fetching, and I think they'd look good with leather. Anyway, Kim's in Oz to promote the Kardashian handbag range. That's Kim Kardashian.
Why don't she put one on her head?
Now, meanwhile, well, she may in the bedroom, who knows? Meanwhile, Kim's old handbag, Chris Humphries, emerges from the aftermath of his 72-day marriage to Kimmy, counting at least one ally, the Chippendale Dancers. Yes! The pole
Chippendales,
the Chippendales.
As in Jamie Dury.
As in the pole dancing, bow-tied and shirtless Las Vegas Mail Review has offered Chris a starring role in its Las Vegas show. Now, Dean,
yes,
in a very un-Kardashian move, that is, cancelling on Sunday a paid appearance at Vegas's Chateau nightclub due to personal turmoil. Perhaps Humphries may not be in the mood to strip down and hit the pole. Maybe his un-Kardashian action of cancelling Sunday's paid appearance will feed nicely into Kim's schedule of irreconcilable differences.
It's a sad state of affairs when you have to resort to take off your clothes just to eat.
20-year-old Mariah Yeater has filed a paternity suit. Now, this is shocking, Dean. Shocking.
Sit down. I'm shocked already.
Oh, you are sitting down. Has filed a paternity suit alleging 17-year-old Justin Bieber is the father of her three-month-old baby.
No.
Yes.
The little Biebette.
Oh, God. The things I read. The Biebs minions issued comment states, "It's sad that someone would fabricate malicious, defamatory and demonstrably false claims. We will vigorously pursue all available legal remedies to defend and protect Justin against these allegations." Now, Dean, is Mariah making a grab for Justin's money? I don't know. The November 7th issue of Star magazine will publish all the salacious details, complete with cover photo of mother and baby Bieber on their November cover of the magazine. Check out Star Mag's upcoming issue or Google something germane on the net to find out more about this shocking, heartbreaking and strangely disturbing story.
I'm disturbed. And you look disturbed.
I always look like this, Dean, but it's hot. Who cares?
Now, no news on Gaga this week?
There is. I'm glad you asked me because now I'm doing the week that was. Yes.
Da-da-da.
Nipples thrust boldly to the wind. Queen Latifah once more into the breach. She will attempt to relaunch her talk show Divadom Bid next autumn. She had that abortive one in 1999. Now, this talk show will be produced by Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. The question on everyone's lips in Hollywood land, though, Dean, will Queen Latifah use her show as a platform for coming out?
Big Queen Latifah. She, I tell you what, she'd be more than a handful for someone.
She'd be a happy roly-poly bundle of joy, I'm sure. Now, Christina Perry, who is she, I ask?
Oh, I know who she is because I'm a big fan.
Are you?
Mm. Well, also of Johnny Ruffo!
Oh!
Go on.
The concreter.
Yes. How do you... Oh, you do know.
Well, I'm paid to know. The Joy pays me big bucks to know. It's like, man, what's happening with the Australian public? It's like about the music, or is it like about being a sexy young boy?
Like?
Like. Jeff Jantz alumni and 15-year-old X Factor wannabe, formerly mentored by Spice Girls refugee Mel B, Christina Perry was clearly frustrated by her shock X Factor elimination this week. Now, Lady Gaga, long-time campaigner for charitable and equity issues, Gaga will launch in 2012, Dean, a foundation for youth empowerment with other major stakeholders, along with Gaga's mum, Cynthia Germanotta, leading and directing the foundation. Meanwhile, Rihanna is twittering healthily, and she twittered early.
Man, you're such a big fan of Rihanna.
I am. Twittering earlier this week an illuminating image, Dean, of her arm attached to a drip. 23-year-old incandescent superstar Riri has been advised by medical specialists to rest because she's been running on empty.
Ah.
And smoking bongs in her latest video, but we won't go there. Michael Lowen.
Now, this is the brother of...
No, father.
Father of.
And it's continuing. Yeah. You remember I said he was arrested?
Yes,
he ran away.
Yes.
And he came back?
Yes.
Well, he's run away again. Michael Lowen, he's claimed Lilo's smoking crack. He's escaped police custody, only to be recaptured buck naked except for an all-too-revealing standard hospital-issue gown. And now, Dean, now, Lindsay's dad, Michael, has been arrested a second time after another abortive attempt to elude arrest by jumping off a third-floor balcony when LA's constabulary arrived at his 28-year-old lover's apartment to take mischievous Michael back into custody. Once again claiming an injury, this time an injured foot, Michael Lowen was first taken to hospital to be checked before being returned to jail.
The Lohans, where would we be without them?
I don't know. Where would my column be without them?
Where would I be without you, Vatsko?
Well,
thank you for joining us today.
It's been lovely.
And a very big thank you to Christine Assange. Sam, thank you for your correspondence. I have no idea as to the answer to your questions, and certainly I'm not going to put it on air. And this one, Ken from Portland, says, what do you think of this trash family, the Kardashians? Kim is embracing Australia. Ken, thank you very much for that. And this one comes through from Dean, who says, another Dean, saying... congratulations to Sam on being elected president of PLWHA. Thank you very much for listening today. A big thank you to Andrew Thorpe and Vasco Meyer and, of course, Sam Venning from PLWHA. I'm Dean Beck. Join me tonight from 9 p.m. with Andrew the Apprentice as we present Hide and Seek on Joy, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Up next is Paul Anthony. He will take you through the afternoon with some wonderful music here on Joy 94.9. Till then, you keep well, take care, and bye for now.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Kylie Minogue, also known as Kylie from Camberwell.
Hey, it's Richard Reed.
Hey, this is Winter Gordon.
Hi, Matt Preston from MasterChef.
What's up, party people? It's the legendary DJ Spinderella.
Hey there, I'm Adam Lambert.
Hello, this is Kate Sobrano.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Alexandra Burke. This is Katie Noonan.
Hi, this is Francois Sagatz.
Hello, this is Katie Lang.
G'day, I'm Barry Bissell.
Hello, this is Tina Arena.
Hi, this is Paris Wells.
Hi, I'm Cindy Lauper.
Hi, this is Tim Campbell.
Hi, this is Sear.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Morosi.
Hey, I'm Darren Hayes.
Hi, I'm Jade Leonard.
Hi, I'm Shaka Khan.
Hi, this is Kathy Freeman.
Hi, I'm Daniel Kowalski.
Hey, this is Jane Lynch, and you're listening to Australia's gay and lesbian radio station.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Willis.
Put your hands up
for Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station.
All night and day long, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLB TIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.